These days, I am having a good time with the Lord. So I'm guessing I'm some different season, some season. So I'm praising the Lord for the season I'm in when coming to my time with the Lord. I don't know how many of you have started the book. Most of you, each family should have one of those books I gave out, Following Jesus. I think each family should have one. If you don't have one, I'll try to get you one. But I started reading it, and after I read just the preface, I prayed. I said, Lord, give me the opportunity to minister to one person a day. I want to be able to share Christ with at least one person a day. And so I went to the bank, and I'm going through the drive-thru, and this girl, she's been working at the bank forever. She knows me by name. Soon as she sees me, she calls me by name before she even see my deposit slip. She's calling me by name. And she said to me, she said, Are you glad for the weekend? She said, you're going to rest. I said, well, I'm not done with the weekend. I got to preach. She said, I never knew that. I never took the time to share with her. So when I left, I said, have a blessed day. I said, yes, I'm a preacher. And she was a little bit surprised because I never told her. You know, she knew I was a realtor. She didn't know I was a preacher. And then I had to go do another deposit at another bank because we support a missionary and we usually take an. And I went there and I'm driving through the drive-thru and I said, Lord, how do I share the gospel with this lady that is going to come on to take this deposit? What do I say? And she takes the deposit, and when she come back to tell me have a nice day or a nice weekend, I said, remember, Jesus died for you. We need to start taking the opportunities to share Christ. Some of you may not want to do it one person a day, but you could say, God, give me an opportunity, one opportunity a week to share the gospel. We need to be a gospel-sharing people. You know, when I see a good movie, you know what I say? You got to see that movie. I mean, I tell people, you need to go see that. That's a good movie. I said, man, I haven't seen a good movie like that in a while. Guess what? We have the best thing since sliced bread. And some of us are trying to be 007 secret agents. But God has no secret agents in his army. We need to be spreading the gospel one way or another. So I pray that you would desire to share what Christ has done with you to others. As you all know, I work VN a lot. I work VN quite a lot, and I'm on the council of VN. And when you and there's VN all over. There's VN in Jamaica. I would love to see it happen in Trinidad. There's VN in North Carolina. There's VN in... But everybody, when you decide to have a VN group, they give you guidelines. And with those guidelines, they give you that so everybody will kind of be doing the same thing and meeting the people the same way. But I am on the council, on the one that's here. And what we did was, after a while, we decided, well, in order for us to make sure we don't mess up here, let's add another rule. So they didn't say quite that, but we'll add a rule. And then a few months later, we'll add another rule to that rules that they have already given us. And a few months later, we find something that we really don't, you know, there may be a problem, so let's add another rule. And one time I got so mad, I said, guys, we need to stop just making rules. I was kind of over with it. And the problem with it is, over the rules we have made, we have hurt a lot of people not even knowing it. You see, the Pharisees had a lot of rules. Jesus, God gave us the law. Back then, they had the law, and God told them to keep the Sabbath holy. And what they did was they started to add things to it. in order not to break the law. I read something. A tailor wasn't allowed on the Sabbath to carry a needle with him just because he may use it. And a person wasn't supposed to have enough ink on them that they could write two letters of the alphabet. You wasn't supposed to walk so many miles on the Sabbath. All these things they have added to the Sabbath. What God gives us is perfect. There's no systems. You know, we all have systems in our lives. We all have systems. There's systems. In fact, we have a system here. We show up at 10:30. That's our system. We have coffee and donuts. That's our system. Then at 11 o'clock, we start service. That's a system. Then from 11 to 12:30, we sing some songs and praise the Lord, and then we preach. That's a system. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1 through 14. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1 through 14. And at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched out his hand, and he was restored healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. How to destroy him. What are your systems? What systems that you have put in place? You know, we all have systems. We have systems of how we deal with our children. We have systems with how we deal with each other. We don't even realize that we have systems in our lives. And for the most part, it's the systems we put there, and sometimes they don't line up with the system of God at all. Now, here's the thing. Systems are not bad. It's not bad at all. I have a system. I like to get up at 6 o'clock and spend time with the Word of God. So systems are bad. But let's learn a few things from this scripture. You know, I wonder if one Sunday you guys come here and we preach at 10:30 instead of have coffee and donuts. And then we go have coffee and donuts and then come back and worship. I wonder how many of you would have a problem with that. I just messed up the whole system. Well, I'm pretty sure I would hear some grumbling and complaining. But here's the first thing. We must understand the knowledge that we have acquired. How many of you spend time in the, don't raise your hand, spend time in the Word of God? How many of you read the Word of God? How many of you have memorized Scripture and is inside of you? Now, here comes Jesus and his disciples, and they're hungry. And as they're walking through the field, I don't know if you all ever had corn without being cooked. I have. And they're walking through, and they pick the grain, and you know, for them to pick it, number one, they're working. Then for them to, you know what they're doing there? They're working. Yeah. And then they eat it. They wasn't supposed to work. And here comes the Pharisees and they says, what on earth is going on? We supposed to have church at 11 o'clock. How dare you start at 10:30? But they had knowledge. But the knowledge that they had was doing them no good. Do you all realize? They had the knowledge. They knew what the Word of God said. They knew that David, at one time, who was not a priest, and priests was the only one to eat the bread at the presence of God, and here David, with his men, goes into the temple and eats the bread. And if you were to do that, you were to be struck down dead. Folks, what are we doing with the knowledge? Do we just have knowledge or do we have understanding? Are we just reading the Word of God or we want the Word of God to transform us? We must be careful and remember that we have to understand the knowledge that we have acquired. When I was before I truly start serving the Lord, God saved me when I was 12. 12 years old in the marketplace, and I probably served him strong for about 2 weeks. And that was it. And then with the knowledge, I didn't stop going to church, but with the knowledge I acquired, I would take that knowledge and I would beat some of the Christians that said they were a Christian over the head with it. I mean, I would put them to shame. And God had to convict me of that. What was I doing with the knowledge? The knowledge I had was doing me no good. And all I could do with the knowledge I have was to come and tear somebody else down. All they were doing with the knowledge they have was to find a way to see what everybody else is doing wrong with the knowledge they have. And Jesus was reminding them that David went into the presence, went into the temple and take the bread that was disallowed and ate it. And then Jesus said, here's another thing I learned from this. I had the scripture, but I'm not going to read it. What about your experience? What about how you see things operating in the Word of God? He says, or have you not read in the verse 5? Or have you not read? We have to know and understand all the experiences we have with God. Because here it says, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Okay, if we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, I shouldn't be here preaching. We all should be just home, laying down in bed, and probably Monday have church. But something is going on that is work but remains guiltless. And he's bringing to their attention, look, you guys experience this all the time. There is sacrifice being made by the priest all the time. They're working hard, but yet they are guiltless. And all you can see, you don't understand what's going on. And then he said, you know what the problem was? They didn't understand who was among them. We must understand who is among us. Christ is here. We must understand that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And he says, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Oh, that should have shaken him up a little bit. See, sometimes we get so out of one because, hey, they didn't sing that song right for me today. And we get so out, you know, and we forget that it's the presence of God is here. Sometimes, he ain't preach right today. I know what's wrong. And we forget that the Holy Spirit is here. We are looking at the temporal. We are looking at the normal. We are looking at what our eyes see. And we forget that the Holy Spirit is here. And our purpose is to do what he, Holy Spirit, wants us to do. And he is greater than the preacher. And he is greater than the worship leader. And he is greater than the building. And he is greater than the order of the service. If they understood that they were standing in the presence of God, they wouldn't have missed the opportunity to surrender. See, they missed the opportunity to surrender because they was only going by what they can see and what they can hear. And their limited understanding. And he said to them, which should have given them a hint, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then he says something I think we lack a lot. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. We are so occupied by what we see and the law that we have written, not what God has written. And we're so occupied with that, that we would rather give judgment than mercy. But God said, if you would just understand that my blood was shed for them, you wouldn't be the judge of them because they are guiltless because of my blood. Folks, you are guiltless if you trust in Christ because of Jesus Christ's blood. And if you would understand that Christ wants you to operate in mercy over judgment. You see, all they can see was the breaking of the law. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6 says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of ram and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told me, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly before the Lord. Sometimes we look at it that we have to be living like they wanted to give sacrifices and bring in the lambs. And hear what he says. I could bring a lot of those things. But that's not where the heart of God is. It's for us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before the Lord. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." He said, if you would only know what it means that I desire mercy. Folks, one of the things I see in this scripture is that we must understand God's priority. We must understand God's priority. Verse 11, he said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it has fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than the sheep? So, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" Here's the thing. They didn't mind if the animal fell in a pit. They will go and take the animal out of the pit on the Sabbath. It was okay. But you know, if a person was sick, the doctor in that time could not attend to that person unless they were dying. If you went into the hospital with their attitude with a broken leg, they would not see you till Monday because it's just a broken leg. But if you went in with a heart attack about to die, they'll get you to the place that you could still live, and then they're going to stop and wait till Monday to finish. That's how systems, when we put our trust in systems that we created and we don't put our hope and our eyes on God, we sometimes hold so strong to the things we think we need to be doing when God said, "I want you to have mercy." Jesus is in the business of restoring lives. You see, they were ready to pass judgment, and they were missing the whole thing. What Jesus said is, you are important. You are more important than what happens on the Sabbath. Meeting your needs, God says, I want to meet your needs, and it's more important than whatever things you have established. And he said to that man, stretched out your hand. Think about it. God is a God who wants to heal, but yet they forbid you from healing on the Sabbath. Folks, I believe when we get together, when God brings us together, he's bringing us together because he wants to meet your need. And he said to that man, stretch out your hand. And that man, now here's the thing, I don't understand. I know that if you had a withered hand, you that man may have hidden it to be in the service. because he wasn't whole. Back then, you have a withered hand. You really wasn't. I wonder if the man had it hidden. I don't know. And guess what? Sometimes God says, stretch forth your hand. I would think some of you may want to stretch forth the good hand, because that's the hand that's actually operating. Think about it. If you were to stretch out the bad hand, and you know that you're going to be looked at and frowned upon because you had a bad hand, you maybe want to stretch out the good hand. A lot of us come to church and we want to only stretch out the good hand. But that's not what God is here to do. He wants to heal your withered hand. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out the hand that he didn't want anybody to see. That's my idea. Sometimes we come to church and all we are showing is the good side. Do you know what I mean? We come to church and all we're doing is showing. And Jesus said, when you come on the Sabbath, I want to do something for you. And half of us don't know that you have a withered hand. They had an opportunity to see God's move, but they were looking for a reason to pass judgment. We should not want systems, we should want a Savior. I'll ask you this, what system you have in place that you're holding on so hard to you would not abandon in order to show mercy? What do you do when Holy Spirit challenges your system? Do you know, I thought about this, but I'll say it. You know, some of us have systems like anger, because that's our system to deal with something. Unforgiveness, that's our system to deal with something. But are we going to stretch out that withered hand and let God bring to your life healing? Here's the thing. God can interrupt your system at any time. I would love a day that we just come to church and we can't say nothing but sit down and weep. We can't say nothing. No. We're trying, but we can't, because God has interrupted our system. God desires mercy over judgment. Folks, God is more interested in you than the Sabbath. I'm changing some of my systems. I found out one of my systems wasn't working. And I'm changing it. Do you have systems that not working? You know, the Pharisees should have known their system wasn't working, because they themselves could not do what they wanted other people to do. They should have known that their system was broken. This morning, God wants you to know that he's a God that can restore, and he can do it on the Sabbath. This morning, God wants you to know he can interrupt our system at any time and meet your need right where you are. You know what I want to be? Obedient. That's where I want to be. Where do you want to be?